Maybe this Christmas week you are thinking about some place you can meet old friends, family, neighbors, business associates, whatever it might be. Go in and meet just before or after Christmas and celebrate. And if you're looking for a place that you know has ample seating and maybe not the most exciting or incredible menu, but relatively dependable, there's a decent chance you might end up at a place that happens to have soup and bread bowls and sandwiches, fresh sourdough bread for everything, and some nice desserts, plenty of coffee. I bet as I'm describing this, most of you have in your mind the name of the place that I'm describing. You know what company I'm thinking of, what restaurant. And before I say the name, would you go ahead and put it in the chat? I'll wait a second here as you type it in, because here's the thing. Well, I think probably most of you, if not all of you, knew what place I was referring to. You're not going to write down the same place. Some of you, if you're in the St. Louis area around Little Hills, you probably wrote down St. Louis Bread Company. Or if you're from St. Louis originally, you probably wrote down St. Louis Bread Company. But if you're elsewhere tonight, you probably wrote down Panera Bread. Now, if you know anything about St. Louis Bread Company and Panera, you know they're actually the same company. They're based in a suburb of St. Louis, but only in St. Louis are they still known as St. Louis Bread Co. Long convoluted history that you don't really worry about when you're trying to figure out where to meet on Christmas week. But as it turns out, they kept the name here because, well, those of us here in St. Louis react pretty negatively anytime they hint at renaming the place Panera. We like that connection. That name means something to us. But on the other hand, if we're looking for that same menu as we travel out of the area, we know what really matters is the menu, the format. It can be called Panera, it can be called Bread Co. It's the same place. That's what really matters. But even though that's what really matters, why do we react to the name? And why, as you were entering it in the chat, might you have felt strongly about how you entered it? Well, it's because it conveys something of a connection. If you're not from St. Louis, you don't think of St. Louis as the bread capital of the world, and it sounds kind of weird to write down St. Louis Bread Co. But if you're from here, it feels weird to say Panera instead. It's like betraying your home city or something. That name and the retention of it feels like it's reaching out to us. And you think about where we were last night as we were in the Gospel of John, and we talked about how Jesus is both the real knowable human being and the real knowable human being who's God. Well, the concepts we're talking about restaurant are there as well. They just take on a much deeper weight. Because if I could go somewhere else in the country and someplace slap the name St. Louis Bread Co. on, but they were serving burgers and fries, it wouldn't be the same place. And yet, what really matters is what's inside. What do we find with Jesus? He comes into the world in a knowable form. He comes and takes on a human form, human nature, and lives in this world. And that conveys that he cares about us. But as he does that, what does he do? He's also the true God of the universe, the core inside, the thing that really matters, that we encounter the Creator. Well, that's there too. And that's really, if you think about Christmas, what we really need is to know that as we encounter the miracle of Christmas and the baby born in the manger, we're not just encountering a baby. We're not just encountering a really neat person, someone who has a name that sounds familiar, St. Louis Bread Co. But that we're actually encountering the one we need to encounter. Let's pray tonight as we go into Hebrews chapter 1 again. We're looking at verse 3. As the author of Hebrews encourages us on this very thing that we've been talking about, that we would understand more deeply how God both makes himself known to us, he gives us a way to relate to him, but he gives us the true way to relate to him. And those two are so important as we reflect on what happens at Christmas. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your love that you both relate to us and you relate to us in a way that is knowable. You don't just relate to us something of yourself, put up a sign that sounds familiar. And as we enter the doors, as we come to know you, what do? We encounter the one that really matters. We get the menu of your love. that matters, that's dependable, true. As we go into this Christmas week, would you help us to remember that and be strengthened by that, Lord? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and dig into verse 3 tonight. We're going to break it into several parts. We're not actually even going to get all the way through verse 3 tonight, but let's look at the very first part, 3a. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. What does Jesus do? He reveals the same nature. There isn't God and God light, God and demigod. There's God, period. There's no one else like him, no one else sort of like him. And so when we're talking about Jesus, either he is God and we're encountering God, or doesn't really matter at all. Which one is it? When we go into that restaurant and it has different names in different regions, but the menu is the same, that's what's important. And when we talk about God, whether we're talking about Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, what matters is that the menu is the same, that we're encountering the one true God, because there can't be another God. And so if as we encounter him, we're not encountering him, well, we're pretty much in trouble. We're not pretty much in trouble. We're entirely in trouble. But look again here. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. What's radiance? Well, the radiance here, Berkeley, I love what he says about this. It's like the rays coming from the sun. Well, when we think about what we think of as the sun, there's the part that's too bright and too hot for us even to see. There's the radiance coming out of it. It's all one nature, though, right? The radiance is the glory, as it were, the sun being shown. And so, too, the sun is the radiance, the glory of the Father. Not a perfect analogy, because we're not saying that Jesus is merely a reflection or the chemical reaction of the Father or something. No, he is actually God. But the point being, from an average everyday standpoint, I don't separate the parts of the sun, right? I see the sun and I think of the sun. And when we see Jesus, we think of God. We don't separate him and think, oh, there's the solar flare coming off of the sun or something. No, we simply see God. And that's important, because his glory is not just a spectacular show. He's not putting on a fireworks display for us. He's not trimming a tree like we've been talking about on Sunday nights, the ultimate Christmas tree. He's not just trimming a tree. What's he doing? He's showing his very essence to us. That sounds like a technical term. It is. But what it really means is the menu is the same. When we encounter Jesus, we're getting the same menu as when we encounter the Father. We're not getting two different menus. They're not two different chains or two different establishments. They're one. There's one God. We need to be very clear on that, because as we talk about God revealing himself in the world, we might pick up the idea that's become very present in our culture that comes from Hinduism, the idea of an avatar. There's a whole series of movies, brand new one out, with that idea. But you think about what Hindus believe. They think that the divine can reveal itself, himself, herself, whatever we're talking about, in different ways at different times. And you might see an aspect, and that aspect may look a lot like the other aspects, or it might be somewhat different. It could vary. And ultimately, everything is part of the divine, and so there's a lot of variation. And so the old Hindu guru saying is that encountering the divine is like blind men coming to an elephant, and one person touches the one leg and says, ah, I've found a tree, and another touches the trunk and says, oh, I found a hose, and so on and so forth. And sometimes people get feeling really good about themselves and good about understanding religion when they come up with something like this, because it says, oh, well, maybe now I can understand. There's different religions, and one's touching the leg, and one's touching the trunk, and we're all blind, so we think we're touching trees and hoses. Well, the author of Hebrews says, no, wait a second. When you encounter Jesus, you're not touching what you think is a tree stump that turns out to be the leg of the elephant, and someone else is touching the trunk and thinking he's touched a hose. If you encounter the real Jesus, you are encountering God full stop, not part of God, not a little bit of God. You're encountering God. And that's really important because you think about that analogy and it's actually rather disturbing because what if the blind man who thinks he's encountered a tree was looking for firewood? He starts hacking at the elephant. Well, for one, the elephant's going to let out a shriek and run, but let's say the elephant for some reason couldn't, he's going to hurt the elephant. And he's not going to get firewood. It's not going to work for him at all. And if the other blind man was looking to put out a fire with a hose, that trunk isn't going to help him unless he can get the elephant to slurp up some water and shoot out of his trunk, right? It's not going to work the way he thinks. And so too, if that's how we approach our faith, that, well, maybe I know part of it. Well, what if I know part of it, but I know it wrongly? It might actually be destructive to me. But the message of Christmas isn't that we get to know part of God, that we get to know God. We don't get to know something of him. We get to know him. We get to know just simply him. And so the old grew metaphor doesn't work. The Panera St. Louis Bread Company one actually does, because as we encounter Jesus, yes, God has taken on a human form. He's taken an actual human name so that he can be known, just like Panera called itself still Bread Co. in St. Louis, so it can be known. But the menu is exactly the same. There's no difference. There's not a separate division, a different menu, a different layout. It's the same place. And when we encounter Jesus, yes, he's taken on a human form. Yes, he takes on the name Jesus, but we're encountering God fully. If we're not, we're encountering a tree stump leg or hose trunk or an avatar. That portion may not be the portion we need, may not be able to do what we need. There's lots of celebrity spokespeople out there, aren't there? And they advertise for everything that's available for sale. And a lot of them are quite active on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, posting about whatever they do, whatever they're known for, but also about their different endorsed companies. And once or twice, when I've had a problem with a product, I've tried to reach out to that celebrity spokesperson. I didn't really think it would work. And you know what? It didn't work. You reach out to them, they don't respond. Because yes, they're the face, they're the one putting their name to it so that you decide to buy the product, but they don't actually have any power or any interest in having any power. And if Jesus isn't fully God, we don't know if we're just going up to the celebrity spokesperson of God, right? This rock star who comes in on Christmas, and now Christmas is just the biggest holiday in the world, and so he's a star, but you tweet at him, you pray to him, and nothing happens. That'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it? Why are we even celebrating Christmas? Well, thankfully, that's not why we're celebrating Christmas. He's not just a face. He's not just a human nature. He is God himself. And that's why we can pray to him. And this week, as you celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago, we're not just celebrating a baby born in a manger. We're not just celebrating all the lights and decorations that we can, and the beautiful songs that tell of the comfort and joy, but we're celebrating that God himself has come in, and he has the exact same power. Look at the second part of this verse, 3b. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's showing God's glory. He's also sustaining, because he's not just showing God's glory, he has God's glory. He goes back to what we talked about last night, that he is actually the creator. He was the one in the beginning. In fact, if we go on to a little bit further in John 1, we didn't look at this verse last night, but if you look at John 1, 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus doesn't just wow us with the glory of God, this impressive presence. He isn't the Wizard of Oz with the big, impressive, fake presentation. He actually is God. And so the awe that we feel and the actual need of the one who can make things right are brought together. The actual and the awe are together in God. There is no separation. Why even the storms listen to him? And why we can hope in him? Remember a few years back at Christmas time, I think it was actually Christmas 2020. What an interesting year, wasn't it? And finally things started to feel a little bit more stable at the end of the year. It still didn't feel very sure. Most of us didn't, I don't think any of us really knew exactly what was going on. Still, it felt very unsure. But finally to Christmas time, latching onto some familiar things, and my family, we got a Christmas ham. Nothing shocking there, right? Lots of people get a Christmas ham, and usually comes in that pretty gold foil wherever you get it. It looks so nice. It looks so festive. And typically, even if you get it ahead of time, what do you do? Unless you go to one of those gourmet stores that opens it and shows it to you, you leave it sealed up so it stays fresh for as long as possible. So when you open it on Christmas Day, you're good to go, right? You can go through Christmas week and enjoy ham sandwiches and more ham dinners, and you don't have to worry about spoiling. Make it hopefully almost to New Year's, or at least close to it. That's what you're looking for, right? So you don't open it. And I remember that night, on Christmas night, we open up the wrapping around the ham. And what did we discover about the ham? The ham was spoiled. It's obviously not good. I think I've kind of repressed exactly what it even looked like, but it was not good. It was clearly not going to sustain us. Yes, it had the glory. It had that beautiful gold foil. It had the label that made it clear it was a Christmas ham. It felt nice when you picked it up, all wrapped up. But inside, it didn't have the right core. It wasn't a good, preserved piece of meat. The alarm bells were going off, and it was time to say, Alexa, stop. Because, Alexa, stop.
Your airborne timer is done.
And you know what? I could say that to the ham. It wasn't going to work, just like oftentimes it doesn't with that speaker. It wasn't going to work because there was nothing that could be done. That ham was gone. The alarms were going off. And we ended up having Christmas pizza, which, you know, wasn't bad. But certainly if we depended on that ham, we would have been disappointed. We were disappointed. And when we chase after other things that we think have pretty wrapping on them, you know what? They're disappointing. But what the author of Hebrews says is that the one who has the glory of God, the one who has the gold wrapping around at Christmas time, is also the one when you unwrap him, what do you find? You find God himself. There's nothing else there. There isn't mold or a spoiled smell or a speaker that always picks inopportune times to go off and won't listen. There is God. Doesn't matter really if you can see glory. It matters if you can encounter the one who's glorious, the one who can sustain us. And at Christmas, we have the invitation to do just that, that we don't have to just look at the gold foil. We can unwrap and find one who nourishes us with his sustaining power that he has kept from age to age. That's the invitation. That Jesus is saying that, yes, I come into this world as a human being. I have put on the name that's familiar, just like St. Louis Bread Co. puts on its name to say, we haven't forgotten you, even though we have this broad national name. Jesus came into a little place that couldn't even be referred to by Israel at the time. It was given an outsider's name. It was called Palestine, and it didn't have much power, and it didn't have much significance. He came in there in a way that could be known, and he took what was known there, and he brought it across the world. He does that to say, I know you. I'm with you. This Christmas week, he's with you too. And if you haven't yet trusted in him, you can make tonight the night you say, Jesus, I've been chasing after what I thought was glory. I've been chasing after all the gold foil, maybe different religious experiences, but you know what? I need the one that actually brings me to the one who made me and sustains me. And the thing I find as I look at these ancient texts that have been passed down from age to age is that there's one who is the same from age to age, and I need you, even though I don't deserve it. You know what? He'll answer you there. He'll be with you this Christmas week. Not just baby in a manger or a pretty tree with some Christian symbols on it, but the actual God of the universe will be with you. He'll bring his light into your life. and for all of us as we go into Christmas, may that be what we hold on to, that the real Christmas present is that the God of the universe came into this world and showed his power in a way that we could understand, so that we'd know that he was not just the powerful God, but the God who loves us and saves us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your love, and we pray tonight that you would guide us. Help us to trust not in the gold foil glory, but in the one who can actually nourish us. That we'd look for the menu that's true. We'd understand that really the miracle of Christmas is all about you caring enough about us to actually come into the world in a way we could understand. And then to accomplish what we couldn't, so that we could stand before you. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you today. And if it has, would you give us a like and a share? Seriously, I know I say that every week, but this is Christmas week. People are looking to hear more about what Christmas is about. And when you hit that share button and your friends that maybe aren't going to make it to church because they've overcommitted themselves in a million other ways, happen to be doom scrolling at 2 a.m. and they run across this video and they watch it, what they're going to do. They're going to see the comments you've been sharing throughout, what you've said, and they're going to hear God's word. That's what's really important, that God is knowable and he loves each and every person he's made, and that there's hope when we turn to him. So thank you for doing that. Let me also just mention Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are coming up. Christmas Eve is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Yes, can you believe it? We're right there. I'm not sure about you. It's just coming too fast. But 7 p.m. live streaming and in person. Can't wait to see you there. If you are traveling, tune in online. It'd be great to see you, even if you normally are in person. And of course, if you are part of our online church family, can't wait to see you online for that as well. And if you're in town, it's a great opportunity to invite someone to come along with you, spend a Christmas evening on Christmas Eve, the day that we're supposed to be doing this, and coming and recognizing the miracle of Christmas. So I hope that you'll join us for that. Also, Christmas Day, 7 p.m., live stream only this time. We're not doing in person on Christmas Day. So you'll come to the same place you would if you're watching Christmas Eve online, 7 p.m. It'll be short and sweet, but just reflecting on the miracle of Christmas and having a little Christmas surprise. Can't wait to share that with you on Christmas Day. So that's Thursday evening at 7 p.m. And oh, Christmas stream and so much more. You can find it all at 12daysof.christmas. That's 12daysof.christmas. There'll be Christmas content from years past and some new stuff that you'll want to check out over the Christmas season, because remember, there's 12 days of Christmas. First one is on Thursday. So just save that. It'll be ready to go on Christmas Day, 12daysof.christmas. In the meantime, if there's any way I can answer any prayer requests or questions, well, you can leave them in the comments below or use the texting address, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. And as you do, we can encourage each other either way, whichever way you want to reach out. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed beginning of your Christmas week. And I hope to see you on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then, of course, on Sunday for that celebration as we continue to bask in the afterglow of God's love. Merry Christmas. minutes before it goes live. Oh, I could cue that up over there. That would work. Yep. I'm gonna take care of this one. So I'm